Studios in Huntington.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to your Long Island Ducks pregame show, broadcast on 365sportscast.com, our special edition of Outside the Studio. This is your host, Matthew Blittner, and I'm joined by my analyst, Daniel Green, as we get set to preview tonight's Long Island Ducks versus Lancaster Barnstormers game here at Fairfield Properties Ballpark. And Dan, this isn't Iowa, this isn't heaven, this is Central Islip, Long Island, and the Ducks come in having lost their last game 11-0 to Southern Maryland Blue Crabs. Meanwhile, the Lancaster Barnstormers just took 2 out of 3 against York Revolution in their rivalry series, the War of the Roses.
Both teams are atop the division. Long Island is 4-4 in second place, and Lancaster is 4-3. This begins a huge 6 games that these two teams play against one another. It's going to be a 3-game and a 3-game home-and-home series. The winner of this series is going to put themselves on pace to take the second-half crown in the North Division.
Speaking of the second-half crown, in the first half, the Ducks were the ones who were crowned, and they went 35-23 to take home that very much coveted first half championship. Meanwhile, Lancaster was 30-30 to finish behind the Ducks in the standings. But now, Lancaster's 4-3 in the second half. So they have a half game lead. And as you mentioned, this upcoming 6-game series is going to be big. Because if the team wins 4 out of the 6 games to win the series, they're going to have a nice lead over second place, which is going to be crucial. And of course, the game time, for those of you who will not be at the ballpark, and for those of you who will, first pitch, 6:35 p.m. tonight. If you're not here, first of all, you're doing the wrong thing. Second of all, game will be broadcast on WRHU 88.7 FM Radio, Hofstra University, and online at WRHU.org. And Daniel, the 2021 season of Ducks Baseball is presented by Catholic Health. Visit them online at chsli.org. Catholic Health, long live Long Island. And beyond the Ducks being presented by Catholic Health, we can see some of the players on the field for the Ducks and some for the Barnstormers getting ready for tonight's highly coveted matchup. So into that matchup we go, and when you start with the two starting pitchers who are taking the hill for the Ducks, that's Vin Mazzaro. He carries a 1-3 record with a 6.39 ERA, 13 strikeouts, and in 31 innings pitched.
Vin Mazzaro at his best is a control pitcher. He was a huge part of being the spark plug who took this team to the 2019 championship. After he was moved from the bullpen to the starting rotation, he did not lose. He's somebody that when he's pitching well, he pitches to contact. And he doesn't walk a lot of guys, giving up about 2.5 walks per 9 innings. Thus far this year, he's had a lot more difficulty with that. He's had 28 walks in 31 innings, but he's coming off a big start in which he had 5 innings, 1 walk, 1 hit. It's possible he's starting to turn it around, and they need it from him.
And in terms of turning it around, if you look at his stats from last year, you know, he went 11-4 with a 3.61 ERA, 84 strikeouts, 27 walks, 92 and a third innings of work. And as you mentioned, after moving from the bullpen to the rotation on July 24th, he was unbeatable. He went 8-0 with a 2.15 ERA, 57 strikeouts and 15 walks. Dan, that is the epitome of a control pitcher at the peak of his game.
And last year he was at the peak of his game. And he is a wily veteran. He's been playing professional baseball for 16 years. He was a huge part of that Pirates team that broke the 21-year playoff drought that they experienced back in 2013, from 1992 to 2013. But this year, he hasn't quite put it together, has walked a lot of guys. He's been much worse against lefties this season, has given up a .321 batting average against lefties. So what he has to look to do is really minimize those walks and pitch far better against the lefties.
Meanwhile, his opponent on the mound, Niall Ball, and by the way, Dan, that's a great name to have if you're a professional baseball player, if you're going to be playing this game at any level, to have the last name Ball. Unfortunately, Ball comes into the matchup touting a 1-4 record with a 4.66 ERA, 16 strikeouts and 29 innings pitched. Dan, what's the scouting report on him?
Now Ball, at his best, is more of a strikeout pitcher. Now, he throws a low 90s to the fastball, but a big key is his crisp slider. When he's pitching well, that pitch is very indistinguishable from his fastball. It's crisp. It cuts late, and it cuts sharp.
Speaking of cutting and dipping and breaking sharply, for those of our listeners back home, I want you to either take a baseball in your hand if you have one. If you don't, picture a baseball in your mind, and you can see how there's a smooth patch of white along the seams, that the seams break up. So what distinguishes the slider for Ball, as well for any pitcher who throws a slider, is whether or not the dot is seen by the hitters. Now, you might be looking at the ball and saying to yourself, there's no dot on it. And that's true. But when you throw a slider, the spin on the ball makes it so that the white part of the ball will rotate in a way where it forms a dot, and that's how hitters can pick up on it. A tightly thrown, crisp slider, though, that dot's not there. It's minimized, which means that the pitcher has done a good job in preventing the hitter from being able to recognize that's a slider, which is something that Ball has the capability of doing when he's on top of his game, because he does that as well as tunnel his pitches. He has his slider and his fastball, both comes out at similar arm angles, similar release points. So it's up to the depth tonight to try to make that distinguish between the fastball and the slider. They hope that Ball's not on top of his game.
No, he has been not as consistent this season as in prior years, and that should be something that the Ducks can take advantage of. He has not gotten as much run support as some of the other members of the Barnstormers team, so we will see how he fares tonight and if he's able to remain consistent and receive the run support that he needs off of Vin Mazzaro.
And of course, Mazzaro and Ball both take the mound, having some pretty decent defense behind them, which is going to be crucial as control pitchers, as, of course, the ground ball type pitcher that Mazzaro is. You always lean on your defense, which is critical, and you can watch some of the players warming up right now on the field. They look like they're ready to go for tonight's game. The hitters, they're the ones that are going to have their work cut out for them. Of course, there's not much to worry about if you're the Ducks, as you have the Atlantic League Player of the Month in July, Daniel Field, right there in the Ducks lineup.
Daniel Fields was remarkable in July. He had a 13-game on base percentage from a July 11th to the 27th, where he had a .474 batting average. Not a .374, not a .274, a .474 batting average. He just came off of a sack fly in, as we call it, a waddle-off win for the Ducks. But he's being joined by a lot of other X factors. Vladimir Frias has hit safely on 17 of his last 18 games. Similarly, LJ Mazzilli has reached safely on 10 of his last 11 games. This is not a team that's going to overwhelm you with power. Their leading home run hitter, Lombardozzi, has 10 home runs. They're not a powerful lineup, but they're a lineup that gets contact and pitches well, plays old school baseball, so that's what you should see here tonight.
Dan, they almost sort of remind me of the late 90s Yankees. Yeah, you had Tino Martinez in there who would have 30, 35 home runs a couple of years, but for the most part, they did it by bleeding hitters with walks, with high on-base percentage, with getting hits, making contact, and driving in players and picking each other up. And that's what this Ducks team reminds you of. On the other side, in the other dugout, the Barnstormers, who they tout Caleb Gindel, He's got a .405 on base percentage, coupled with 21 home runs, which is second in the league, 56 RBIs, which is third in the league. Dan, this guy, he's the real deal.
He's on top of the world right now. He's the former Milwaukee Brewer, and he currently leads the Atlantic in total bases. He has been a strong power hitter. He's knocked guys in, and he's had a lot of support behind him. Blake Galen has had a .429 OBP. Kelly Dugan has had a .445 OBP. And this lineup is a tough one to get through. This is a team that can put up a lot of runs. And we saw that last week. They played York in one of the War of the Roses games. They scored 17 runs and won 17-12 against this team. This is a team that hits, has about 3 total earned runs per 9 innings higher than the Long Island Ducks, but they can hit the ball really well.
So pretty much they out-hit their mistakes when they get the chance to. And that makes you wonder for a second if the Barnstormers can hold off the Ducks in their divisional race, which obviously is just getting underway. They're only 7-8 games in to the second half of this season. But if the Barnstormers are going to knock off the Ducks, who obviously, even though they won the first half division championship, they want to get the higher seeding. They want to get the better seeding in the playoffs. So under that circumstance, even though the Ducks are guaranteed a playoff spot, they still want to improve their playoff standing. Barnstormers are going to have to do a lot to prevent that, to prevent the Ducks from taking that spot away from them. Dan, what can they do?
A big part of what the Barnstormers are going to have to do is obviously continue hitting, and this middle of the lineup is extremely strong. They need to get some guys back off the DL, like Melvin Mercedes, but the bigger thing seems to be the pitching, and if they can pitch better in the second half, they're going to be a tough out for the Ducks.
And an interesting thing here, if you look at them, and I know I made reference to the late 90s Yankees when it came to the Ducks, you can almost compare and contrast Major League Baseball 25 years ago with what they're doing now in this matchup here between the Ducks and the Barnstormers. The Ducks are that placid, contact, get-on-base team. Well, the Barnstormers, they shove it down on your throat. They power past you. They put up runs in bunches. And that's what today's game of baseball is all about. So it's an interesting side-by-side glance at how baseball has evolved and wondering that both styles can still be successful.
And we're going to have LJ Mazzilli clearly later in the studio, and he is somebody who has that type of approach. That is an approach that is preached throughout the Ducks. They're not going to outpower you, and in this era of guys constantly trying to hit the most home runs, going for the 3 outcomes of home runs, strikeouts, walks, it's refreshing to see a team like the Ducks who has found success being more of the on-base team, hitting for average, as opposed to a team like Lancaster, who seems to be embracing that powerful side. It's great to see both sides be successful, and look forward to watching them play out over the next 6 games.
Absolutely, and you know, for the fans who do come out to the ballpark, there's more options than just tickets, of course. We'll get into how you can purchase Ducks tickets a little later on in the pregame show. But you do have Great South Bay Hospitality, who is the exclusive food and beverage service operator for the Long Island Ducks Suites at Fairfield Properties Ballpark. Dan, we got to take a look at the catering menu that the Ducks have thanks to Great South Bay Hospitality. And there's a lot of great options for fans who fought over the money in order to make their guests happy. Dan, give it to us. What would someone like you order in the suite? What type of food are you getting?
Now, I know that we're in the ballpark and everybody likes to be as ostentatious and as gluttonous as possible, but longtime listeners of our show know that I'm a little bit of a healthy eater. So myself, I would go for the seasonal fruits and berries. They serve up to 10 people and they taste great. Can help you feel light and relaxed, but also refreshed while watching the game. In the meantime, I would also get the vegetable wrap. And that sounds really good, Matt.
That does sound great. And of course, we do have the chicken tenders, the all-natural chicken tenders, and the Philly pretzel rivets that serve as an awesome snack, an appetizer. And if you want an entree, Nathan's All Beef Hot Dogs and Gourmet Burgers combo is the way to go. Dan, our first guest has just walked into the studio, and that's manager Wally Backman. Wally, we're pleased to have you here today on the Ducks pregame show. How are you today?
I'm doing good today.
And we're ecstatic to have you on. You were obviously in the Mets system for a long time as a coach, as a player. What did you learn while you were in that organization that you've taken to Long Island?
Well, you know, I played for some of the best people there. You know, Buddy Harrelson was the infield instructor at that time when he coached third. And Bobby Valentine was there. Davey Johnson, who was the manager when we won a World Series. But it was a well-organized organization then.
Now, Wally, we have to ask. You, of course, you were with them. You learned a lot. Who were some of the managerial influences that you had? You know, you were around so many great managers in the Mets system. You know, who did you learn from and take some of their skills and their styles from to incorporate as you lead the Ducks to what everyone hopes on Long Island is another championship?
Well, you know, my first manager was Joe Torre, and you know, that basically speaks for itself. You know, Joe wasn't there very long, and of course, Davey, we won the championship with. You know, I moved on to have Jim Leland in Pittsburgh and Fergusi in Philadelphia and Lou Piniella in Seattle. Wow. So I played for some good ones. So, you know, I learned more probably in the end for probably 86 from Davey and then a lot from Leland, a lot from Piniella in my final year in the big leagues. So those are pretty good guys to learn from. It's just the way that they went about their business, the way that they ran their bullpens and things like that, the way they controlled their team.
It doesn't hurt that you learn from a couple of fiery managers, too, I'm going to guess, in Piniella and Leland, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, they're there to win, and that's what we're here in Long Island to do, or on Long Island here, is to win baseball games. And it's not really a developmental league at this level. It's a level to try to win games and push guys back into affiliated baseball. I think we've lost 12 guys this year.
And that speaks to the enormous success that the Ducks have had. What do you feel about the season so far? Obviously, you guys took the first half championship. What do you feel that you have to do to repeat as championships and continue to have that kind of success?
Well, I think there's a few additions still that need to be made. We're pretty good. You know, in the last season that we played, we won both halves, and then we won a championship. We won the first half this time. I believe we're going to win the second half this year as well. So, you know, just to shore up the bullpen maybe a little bit, would be really nice to do. It's just hard to find pitching right now.
And what do you feel about the ways that the experimental rules have affected this year? I know that there's been a lot of press surrounding that. How do you feel about that as somebody who's been around the game for a long time?
Probably the biggest issue that everybody wants to talk about is the mound being moved back to 61 feet 6 inches. We've played 9 games at it, and I haven't seen a difference yet. If there was one difference that I've seen, I thought there would be more complaining from pitchers, but there hasn't been. If there's one thing that I don't even know the statistics on it for sure, there might be more balls put in play so far. But there's no more walks. There might be a little down on the strikeouts. So I think the experiment is working into which, you know, Major League Baseball, a lot of people think it's a boring game now. So they want to see more balls hit and play. And I think that this, so far, it's only been 9 games, that part of that is happening.
So what about the pitcher's velocity? Have you seen a downtick at all with the extra foot? I mean, it's, you know, if a pitcher's throwing 95, just from a sheer physics standpoint, probably going to be more closer to 93, and that might be contributing to the extra balls in play. Have you seen that, or have you had any of your pitchers say, you know, we can't believe that, you know, that ball's getting hit now?
Right. You know, it's they haven't said that yet, you know, but you're right. It's like a mile and a half that's supposedly the difference from the studies that they've done. For my guys, a lot of my guys are contact guys anyways that just know how to pitch. You know, I got a couple of power arms in the bullpen, but it really hasn't affected any of those guys yet.
On the other side, obviously you've had success as a manager. Ross Peoples, the manager of Lancaster, has had some success there as well. What do you feel is key to his success and the type of manager that he is, and what have you seen in him getting through to his players on Lancaster?
Ross's success over there has been his offense, for sure. His pitching staff has struggled this year. I think that our successes were more of a complete team because we have good pitching. We lead the league in pitching. We lead the league in defense. And you know, we're right in the middle of the pack in offense, but we've got a lot of stolen bases. We don't have the power that Ross has, so we have to manufacture runs in a different way. But Ross's team is based on offense pretty much the whole team.
Now, not to put down your offense, you've mentioned your offense has to get creative. What are you seeing out of Daniel Fields this season? He's the reigning player of the month in the Atlantic League in July, and I know you're saying you guys have to get creative, but it certainly doesn't hurt when you have someone of his caliber.
Oh, no. Daniel's been great. He's been a great player for me for the 2 years that I've had him. He's hitting for a higher average this year. He's been very good off the bench. There's times I put him more in a platoon situation this year than I did in the previous year, just because he had a lot of struggles against left-handed pitching before, and it's really shown that he's more successful the way we're using him this year.
And Vin Mazzaro, who's taking the mound tonight, has started off a little bit cold. Obviously, he was a huge part of the team's success in 2019. What do you feel he has to do to kind of return to that form
well,
more?
He's finally healthy. He was never healthy at the start of the year and was trying to grind through it. We put him on a disabled list for a while to let him recover and regroup, and his last start was actually more than Vinny Mazzaro that we've seen in 19. So hopefully we'll see the same out of him again tonight.
And Wally, before we let you go, because we know that you have to get your team prepared for tonight, if you had to pick an X factor for your team, not just in this game tonight, but for the rest of the season, which player of yours is it going to be?
Well, I don't know if I've got him yet, but Steve Lombardozzi's been our best player all year, most consistent player all year. I don't even know. You can write your lineup out for 120 games, and he's going to be in it. He doesn't want to come out of the lineup.
Are we getting that lineup soon? We have fans want to know.
Yeah, we're going to get it soon.
All right. Thank you, Wally, so much for joining us. And good luck tonight against the Barnstormers. He is hoping for Dutch W.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, Dan, that was our manager report with Wally Bachman, who is now going to head down to the field to get his team prepared for tonight's game. And we really thank Wally for coming by. And we're now going to have to move quickly into a segment about what the Ducks are doing here on Long Island. We heard a lot about the success that they've had. We're hearing a lot about things that they do. So, Dan, they won the 2019 Atlantic League Championship. We know that. We know that they won the first half North Division Championship. What have they been doing since their inception that has Long Island so buzzing about them?
They've had a massively successful history since their inception in 2000. They made the playoffs in 14 of the 19 seasons that they've played in the league. They're currently on their second 6 straight year of making the playoffs. They've had 2 streaks in which they made the playoffs for 6 straight years. And you just heard it from Wally. You heard the reason that they've been so successful. This is a team that looks at building complete teams, and that's what makes them so strong. Their success is based off of that and their ability to find guys, build them up so that they can go back to affiliated leagues and can continue to be successful for Long Island.
Now, Dan, you mentioned about this being the second 6 straight years that the Ducks have made the playoffs. I just want to let our fans know they made the playoffs from 04 to 09, and of course the Patriots made from 2013 to 2018. Those are the only times that in Atlantic League history that a team has made it to the playoffs that many consecutive years, and the Ducks certainly have no intention of slowing down. They want to blow past that record. Now, along with that, Long Island, as we've mentioned, they've been so successful, they've earned 15 playoff berths in team history. And they've played in the last 17 seasons, they've done that. That's 15-2 if you think about it. And that's a record that anyone would be proud of. Meanwhile, the Ducks have welcomed an Atlantic League record, 8,202,716 fans through the gates of Fairfield Properties Ballpark on Long Island, reaching the 8 million fan mark faster than any other team in the league despite not coming into existence until the third year of the league in 2000.
And I think that feeds into each other. So you have a team in a good place that has a nice fan base and that has an affordable and fun way to enjoy your evening. So you get a lot of fans. They consistently have within the top of attendance in the league. So that creates a good fan base. That gets the players excited. That creates winning. And then that feeds back into the fans wanting to come back and see more. You just have a good time at the ballpark and it feeds in the energy that you're experiencing now at Fairfield's properties.
And in terms of experiencing that energy now, for those of you who are listening very carefully, you can hear the DJ playing some terrific beats for everyone in the ballpark as the players continue to warm up, get loose for tonight's game. I mean, I don't know exactly how much they have to warm up. It's 95 degrees outside, but and it's definitely hotter on the field than it is outside. But who knows? You know, players like to, they're creatures of habit. One thing that the Ducks love to do, they love to play the Barnstormers here on Long Island. In their history, they're 154-143 against the Barnstormers, but they're 81-65 here on Long Island.
They've had a lot of success against the Barnstormers, and the Barnstormers are a good organization themselves. They started in 2003, and they've had success in that. They've won two championships in their time there. But against the Ducks, especially on the road, it has not been an easy road. It has been a situation where you just see a team that's consistently been outplaying them, especially in this park, especially with all these fans watching.
Now, the Ducks, they're 2-1 at home this year versus Lancaster and 2-1 on the road. So it doesn't really seem like Lancaster has an escape hatch at all to be able to prevent themselves from losing to the Ducks, because in prior years, they've been able to say, well, you know, we own our home turf and the Ducks own their home turf. Doesn't seem that way this year.
Well, we'll see how that continues to play out. It's still early in the season and we still have six games coming up right now. So that will be a huge factor in seeing how these teams stack up in the finals of the standings.
Now, for our fans out there who maybe they can't get to the ballpark tonight, but maybe are coming down tomorrow or over the weekend, didn't give you some pitching probables. These aren't set in stone. As we know, pitching matchups in baseball are never set in stone. That they're not set in stone once the pitcher even takes the mound. But tomorrow, Saturday, August 14th, you have Darren Downs, who's tying a 1-3 record and a 5.08 ERA, going up against Dominic DeSabatino, who's 8-3, but he's got a 7.34 ERA. Dan, how are you 8-3 with an over 7 ERA?
It's offense. That's the whole thing. This whole team is built around offense and getting massive run support. We heard Wally say it. We see it in the stats. Can they continue to do that? We've seen in the past that teams that just build on offense often fall short.
Well, let's take a look at Sunday's pitching matchup. Maybe that'll make a little bit more sense to us. Sunday, you have right-handed pitcher Hunter Cordell, who does not have a win-loss record, but he's got a 2.08 ERA. Going against southpaw Tommy Shirley, who's 2-1 with a 4.97. Dan, I think that's the matchup that old-school baseball purists are going to appreciate a lot more.
Yeah, we'll see. Hopefully it'll be more of a balanced game, but either way, we know that it's going to be competitive.
And here in August, I mean, it's not July anymore, where the Ducks went a blistering 20-7. In August, they're only 5-6. If they win tonight, they'll be back to 500 this month. A win tonight also gets them into first place in the division. And as I've just been handed, we have officially the starting lineups for tonight. So Dan, I'm gonna give you your choice. Do you wanna announce the Barnstormers or do you wanna announce the Ducks?
I gotta get excited about the Barnstormers. I know that they're going to score a lot of runs consistently. They're going to lead off with Caleb Gindel, their DH, who leads the league in total bases. They're going to have Blake Almand, Blake Galen, Alejandro Deaza, Trayvon Robinson, Kelly Dugan, Anderson De La Rosa, Jake Hoover, and then Klaus Rondon to round it out. And of course, Niall Ball will be taking the mound for the Ducks.
For the Ducks, first of all, did you just say Niall Ball will be taking the mound for the Ducks?
For the Barnstormers.
Was there a trade I wasn't aware of? For the Ducks, batting leadoff playing shortstop, Vladimir Frias. He'll be followed in the lineup by second baseman Steve Lombarduzzi. Batting third, LJ Mazzilli, who will be joining us at about 4:45 this afternoon. Batting cleanup, Devinson Romero, who has been hitting quite well lately, playing first base. Batting fifth, Ramon Flores at DH. Batting sixth, Sal Giardina doing the catching. Batting seventh, we spoke about him with Wally in right field, Daniel Fields, who, by the way, also a great name for a baseball player, especially if you're an outfielder. Batting eighth, Ty Kelly playing third base. And bringing up the rear, batting ninth, Breland Almadov playing center field. And again, Vin Mazzaro, right-handed pitcher, taking the mound against the Barnstormers in just a couple hours from now.
What a strong way to start the lineup, especially because Frias has been extremely hot. Lombarduzzi, obviously, is always the X factor, always a top player. And Mazzilli is somebody that you can count on to hit for contact. And Romero. Romero's been really hot. He had three games where he hit home runs in a row. He's been somebody who's been very good and turning it on and knocking in runs in a variety of ways.
Now, we have a lot of things that we still need to look forward to here. But Dan, let's first hear a word from one of the sponsors of the Long Island Ducks, Saville Ford.
Saville Ford is the leading name in new Ford cars, trucks, and SUVs. They are committed to the best possible dealership experience. It starts with a commitment to providing customers with an outstanding selection of new and used vehicles. Whether you're in the market for a stunning new Ford or a gently used pre-owned, their vast inventory has what you are looking for at prices that the competition just cannot match. From here, engendering a stress-free environment comes next. Your comfort and overall enjoyment matter greatly to the team, so you can take solace in the fact that slimy sales pitches and aggressive promotional tactics have no place on the showroom floor. Instead, you will find a group of welcoming and inviting professionals who will offer up guidance and support when you are confident in taking the next step towards driving home in a great new Ford vehicle. If this sounds like your kind of car buying experience, call them today at 631-573-0532. Again, that is 631-573-0532 to get a Saville Ford.
I look forward to potentially visiting that dealership with you, Dan. And I know we're going to talk about some of the Ducks promotions a little later in the show. But I would be remiss if I didn't tell our fans that if you're not already on your way here, and if you didn't already have plans to come out to the ballpark tonight, I highly suggest you change those plans, get in your car, take an Uber, do what you gotta do, because tonight's promotion against the Barnstormers is Ducks t-shirts. The first 1,500 fans in attendance will receive a Ducks t-shirt, and then those are a hot commodity here on Long Island and Central Islip.
They look good. They look good. Everybody likes the colors. Everybody likes the orange, and I look forward to getting one myself.
Now, we touched on this with Backman a little bit about the experimental rules. For our fans who don't know what the experimental rules are, let me remind you or inform you. Major League Baseball has turned the Atlantic League, even though they're not affiliated, has turned the Atlantic League into something of a breeding ground, a testing site for new rules and new concepts that can occasionally be brought into the Major League Baseball game, such as the three batter minimum for relief pitchers. And there's two rules this year that the Atlantic League is trying out. And we'll get to the first one, and that is the double hook rule. The DH, which, unless you're in the National League in Major League Baseball, most leagues have a designated hitter at this point, but that's not going to be the case so much anymore. This entire season, the DH has been removed from the lineup at the same time that the starting pitcher gets pulled. Dan, what do you think of this?
The thing is, I think it's not enough. The intention of this rule is to keep in starting pitchers, because if you have a DH that's a good player, the idea is that theoretically you would have to pull him once you lost your starting pitcher. The effect has not necessarily been so, because again, these matchups are so specialized. So teams would rather get the right pitcher on the mound and maintain and take out a DH if they have to. These teams are very focused on matchups. I don't think that this rule will fully have the effect that the league is expecting it to have, but we'll have to see. We'll have to see how it does going forward. It is an interesting idea, but I don't think it is enough of a step towards keeping starting pitchers in the game.
And let's not forget that for baseball purists who didn't like the DH when it was implemented in 1973 and don't like it now, that it sort of turns back the clock a little bit in that they don't have to have a DH in for the entire game.
It does add more depth off the bench if you're going to have to pull out your DH. So that part can be interesting, adds more work for the manager, more strategy behind that. But ultimately, it's not a huge enough leap. That's what I'm saying. It's not a huge enough leap to make the difference that the league is looking for.
So what would you do?
I would continue to do more things like this next rule that we're looking at, which is moving back the mound. Because that has a demonstrable effect on the game that has a change in the way that the game is played. Because in order to overcome the current issues that baseball is having, that a lot of people have talked about, that Wally alluded to, where fans are considering it less exciting, you want more balls to be hit into play. The only way to do that, it's not going to be through rules. It's going to be through structural changes to the game. I don't know. We'll see. This new rule has just started.
Yes, as Wally mentioned, they've only played 9 games with this new rule, where the mound, which has been at 60 feet 6 inches since the late 1800s, is now 61 feet 6 inches, so they moved it back 12 inches. And as Wally said, you know, there are more balls being put in play. Perhaps strikeouts are down a little bit. And look, I'm all for strikeouts going down a little bit. No pitchers seem to be getting hurt from it, which is a good thing. We'll see if that continues. That is a worry that a lot of people have had. But there's certainly going to be that expectation that the ball isn't going to move the same way. Strikes are going to be coming in lower. You're not going to have as many high pitches in the zone. Not going to have as much overwhelming velocity. And that's going to let hitters naturally, sort of like when Major League Baseball lowered the mound in the late 60s, it's going to swing the pendulum back towards the hitters a little bit.
It is possible that it will have this effect, especially because, again, you're losing 1 to 2 miles an hour. In a game where inches matter, in a game where every marginal edge is important, I can see this as being important. Now, luckily, the big thing is that the Ducks have not noticed it having an impact on their pitcher's fatigue. But again, it would be interesting to see more teams like the Ducks being built if the game goes more towards balls being put into play, because you lose some of that power and ability to overwhelm people.
And let's not dismiss the potential for fatigue. They're only 9 games into the experiment. Yeah. Let's see what happens when they're 30, 40 games into the experiment. That's going to be the real test of where the pitchers are at, because there is extra emphasis on trying to get that ball an extra foot. I know a lot of people at home are probably saying to themselves, it's just an extra foot. All right, you go out there and try to throw the ball an extra foot at the same velocity, at the same spin, with the same type of movement. It's going to take a lot more out of you.
And that is the one thing that overall is a concern about these types of experiments is it enough time? Is it enough time to determine whether this is successful? I mean, 9 games is certainly not. Is half a season enough? Is it a situation where 2-3 years down the line you start seeing things pop up? It's hard to know. I mean, the trend is already going towards more guys getting hurt, more guys missing time, guys trying to really push that edge and getting themselves hurt. Is this something that we at first start to miss, but then is the canary in the coal mine?
The canary in the coal mine. Dan, where did you pull that one from?
Well, I mean, it's It's the right thing for this situation. You think about what will be the signal. Will you start to see those slight injuries, those slight fatigues like you've seen for guys like Jacob deGrom, who's not pitching more moved back, but is trying to push himself to gain those marginal 1 or 2 miles per hour more on every start.
Well, we hope the best for deGrom, who should be getting another MRI in a couple of days' time. Meanwhile, here's another reason, if you didn't have a million already, for why you should be coming out to Fairfield Properties Ballpark in Central Islip, Long Island. And that's the list of upcoming Dutch promotion nights. As we already mentioned, tonight is Dutch T-shirt night for the first 1,500 fans. Tomorrow, August 14th, is the Fireworks Spectacular presented by PSEG Long Island. And Sunday, August 15th, Dutch sunglasses, courtesy of News 12 Long Island, as the first 1,500 fans in attendance will receive Dutch sunglasses.
I'm very excited for August 24th, Under the Sea, Bikini Bottom Night. That should be fun. I'm a big SpongeBob fan, as well as Shrek Night, keeping with the movie theme.
That's August 25th, for those of you who didn't catch that. And then August 26th, I know a lot of you are eager to go back to school. All right, I take it back.
Maybe not so eager.
I don't know too many kids who are eager to go back to school. But the back-to-school lunch boxes, which, Dan, we saw those on display when we first walked into the stadium today. That's courtesy of Scope Education Services. The first 1,500 kids, 12 and under, will receive those special school lunch boxes. And then we get into the month of September, where we have a lot of terrific, terrific promotions.
I'm especially excited for Billy Joel Night. Everybody's a big fan of Billy Joel. That'll be on September 8th. Everybody should be looking forward to his music and hearing that in the stadium. And I know, Matt, you're excited for Wizards and Wands Day.
Yes, Wizards and Wands on September 5th. If you want to feel like you're living out Harry Potter's world in real life, I guess that's the time to come to the ballpark, right?
Absolutely. And if you want to get into movies, October 3rd is Mean Girls Night. People know that Mean Girls is my favorite movie, and can't wait for that on October 3rd.
Are you going to drop a Mean Girls quote for us?
What day is it? It's October 3rd. That's the only Mean Girls quote that's probably appropriate for that situation.
And, I don't even know what to say to that, Dan, but it is certainly appropriate for that. September 3rd, Dutch action posters. Courtesy of Newsday, first 1,500 fans in attendance will receive a Dutch action poster. And then September 4th, Fireworks Spectacular will return, this time presented by Suffolk AME. September 7th, Golden Ticket Night. For those of you who are wondering about movies, I wonder if that has to do with Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. And then, of course, my second favorite one, September 9th, 90s Night. Dan, we're children of the 90s.
Who doesn't get a little bit nostalgic about the 90s? And obviously, there's the four ways to get tickets. You can get it at the Fairfield Properties Ballpark box office. You can get it online at liducks.com. You can get it on the Ducks mobile app, or you can get it on the phone at 631-940-TICKS. That is 631-940-8499.
Dan, that's a tremendous job. And for those of you wondering who might have just tuned in, by getting it, Dan, does mean getting tickets to the games. So we will highly encourage you to buy tickets. And we are now going to be joined by LJ Mazzilli, who is kind enough to take some time out from his game prep to talk to us and to talk to you, the fans. LJ, welcome.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for having me.
And thanks for coming along. And, you know, we have to ask, LJ, first and foremost, you're a contact hitter, as is a lot of members of your team. You're going up against a team that does it the other way. Barnstormers, they like to hit for power. So what brought about this change, this conflicting style? I mean, you know, you see baseball nowadays, it's all swing from the heels, it's all hitting for power, and you're doing it as a contact hitter. So just take us through why you chose to go with the old school versus new school approach.
Yeah, I wouldn't consider myself just a contact hitter. I would consider, you know, gap to gap, try to, you know, doubles, turn into home runs type of person. But But yeah, I like to just hit the ball hard in play. I'm not trying to leave the yard every single swing. Like you said, everyone's back footing balls and having those different approaches. I think the old school type of way where you don't give away a pitch, you don't give away an at bat type of mentality. You're grinding to pass it along to the next person on the team. I think that's, you know, that creates traffic on the base path. That's what creates more runs as opposed to, you know, one or two or three guys in the lineup maybe leaving the yard in that game. So I like the way that we are as a team. We pest, we don't give things away, and we try to keep it going.
And that old school approach, which is serving you guys so well, did any part of that come as inspiration or inherited from your dad, Lee, who of course played in Major League Baseball?
Yeah, for me personally, yeah. Almost, you know, most of my game style comes from my dad because, you know, I grew up in the house where, you know, he taught me all the fundamentals of the game when it comes to how it's supposed to be played and mental approaches and stuff like that. Mechanically, we never ever talked about things like that because when it comes down to it in the game, it's all about execution. And everybody knows that plays this game. You know, you got to execute when the game's online, in between the lines. Nothing that you work on before the game is supposed to be worked on during the game. So with that being said, the mindset is, like I said before, to not give away a pitch, grind out every single at bat, try to keep it going for the team, and maybe you get something for yourself as well.
And obviously, this team has had tremendous success. It won the championship last year, won the first half this year. What do you think is so good about this Ducks team that makes it successful and helps these players really develop?
I think we just have an expectation of winning in the clubhouse. It starts from the top, starts from our manager, Wally. He creates that atmosphere for us and that mentality that every single game is an important one and we want to win it. So, from that standpoint, you know, everyone's kind of got that understanding collectively where we go out every single night with a mission to win. We got our scouting reports. We got our game plan for the most part against those starting pitchers and the team that we're facing for that series. So we have experience. We have guys who've played in the league, in the major leagues. We have a manager who's played and coached for decades. So I think we have a great group of guys with all of that combined is why we have a good team.
Now, you're talking very generally about your team, of course, and, you know, high praise all around. Of course, you know, champions in 2019, the first half division champions this year. Talk to us about this Ducks lineup. I mean, you're one key in the cog that is this entire lineup. You have guys like Daniel Fields, who we touched on before, who's also an excellent hitter. You know, who are some of the guys, and is the good hitting contagious, really? Is it just really, you know, one guy gets on, next guy wants to outdo him type of mentality?
It is contagious, definitely, from top to bottom. I think from the, you know, leadoff spot to the nine hole, we have a bunch of guys that can play various roles in that lineup. So wherever they're hitting in our lineup, it doesn't even matter. They could be hitting, you know, in the middle of the order for anybody else, and vice versa. So, you know, for us as a group, you know, you see guys like Vladimir Frias, who's been hot, and he's in the leadoff role. So he's always setting the tone for the most part early on in the game for our bats, and then followed by Lombardozzi, who has been hot all year, and he's a typical, prototypical two-hitter where he's got pop as well, switch hitter, but he always puts together a good at-bat. I'm pretty sure he's first or second in lead in walks as well. So between those two, the top, you know, setting the tone, we got me who, you know, puts the ball in play a lot, likes when guys are on base. And then whoever is behind me, whether it's Lou or Romero or Flores or Fields or Sanchez or whoever it is, it keeps the momentum going. So, you know, I think the top to the bottom, we set a momentum and it just keeps going and flows.
And I like that you were somewhat humble because you are also one of these guys who's really hot right now. You've gotten on base safely 10 of your last 11 games. What's been different about your approach as of late that you want to continue to push forward?
I know I reiterate this, but I really try to focus on not giving away a pitch every single at bat because with that focus and, you know, intention to not give away a pitch, it leads to capitalizing on mistakes. It leads to being in a position to, once you get a good pitch to hit, execute. So for me personally, you know, more guys that keep getting on base, it's more exciting for me. When the pitcher comes out of the stretch, it's not as easy for them to control, and they're worried about guys on the base pass. And I'm ready. I'm there, and I'm trying to be ready for that mistake so I can drive them in.
LJ, before we let you go, I have to ask, obviously everyone in this league wants to either get back to the major leagues or get to the majors for the first time. You know, how does the team go about helping you in that regard? And, you know, what's your plan? Is this, you know, is this the better route for you to take other than going double A, triple A, working your way up? Or is this the route that you feel is the one that fits you?
That's an interesting question, because I think this league in general is, for most players, they understand that this is probably their best way at this point in their career to get back into affiliated to the double A, triple A level and hopefully get called up to the big leagues. Like a lot of people that have played here in the past, most recently Sean Nolan got called up, and I was teammates with him in 2019. He recently just got called up with the Washington Nationals a couple days ago. So you see guys like that, and you understand the position you're in, that you might not be an affiliated this year, and it might not happen this year, but you put up the numbers here, you do your best to win a championship, and then going into the following season, hopefully that gets looked at to where you do get a chance to get back in the system, like you're saying. And this league is basically the one that's jump-starting all of that.
Well, LJ, thank you so much for joining us. Best to you and your Ducks teammates tonight as you take on the Lancaster Barnstormers. And we're going to wish you success both tonight, the rest of the season, as well as for potentially getting to the major leagues.
Thank you.
You're
awesome.
Thanks for having me. Thanks. You're welcome. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was LJ Mazzilli who joined us here. So please make sure if you're going to come out to the ballpark, you're going to watch an excellent young man.
I see a future in coaching. I mean, the way that he spoke to me, that reminds me of how my coaches used to speak with me. And
yeah, but your coaches told you we don't want you to play.
that's a true fact, but the way that he articulates the way the game should be played, the way that you should approach the bat, that's like a coach to me in the future, and not surprisingly coming from the Mazzilli family.
Excellent point there, Dan, and we're now going to hear a word from one more of the sponsors of the Long Island Ducks, PSEG. They have a good community cause, their Neighborhood Partners Program. The PSEG Foundation invites the nonprofit community to submit an application for program support through the Neighborhood Partners Program, RFP. Grants ranging from $500 to $15,000 will be awarded. Environmental sustainability is an aim, is a key. Equity and economic empowerment, education and workforce development in thriving communities, neighborhood revitalization, disaster preparedness, and safety, as well as social justice, diversity, equity, and inclusion, and of course, COVID-19 response and relief efforts. So please join PSEG with their Neighborhood Partners Program in order to help Central Islip and Greater Long Island neighborhoods and areas in bettering themselves and getting through these difficult times that the world has experienced since March 2020. Dan, we're doing our part, we hope, by telling the fans, by telling all of you out there that these type of programs exist. And we encourage you to go ahead and check them out on the PSEG website.
And the applications for this year just recently ended, but a lot of nonprofits, especially ones that operate out of Long Island, should really look at this as an option.
Now, as we come to the close of our show and get closer to first pitch, as LJ mentioned and as Backman mentioned, there's been a fair amount of players who have left the Ducks this season and in the past to go up to the major leagues. Dan, we've compiled a bit of a list here for the fans. Some of you may recall them. Jay Gibbons played for the Ducks, played for the Orioles. Kip Wells played for various teams. Rich Hill made a brief stop here on Long Island, currently pitching for your New York Mets. And of course, if you want to talk about the Mets, let's not forget about Eduardo Alfonso and Armando Benitez.
Those guys were looking to revitalize their career, but more than just revitalize their career, they were looking to continue their passion for this game that we all love. And it's unbelievable how this league still gives players a chance to do what they do best in front of a packed house, in front of a packed house, and it's an unbelievable opportunity, whether the guy makes the major leagues or not, to have that opportunity to still do the sport that you love and still be able to play it at the level that you need to. And even now, there's some current guys who in the past were former players. Daniel Fields, Lou Ford, Ramon Flores, Lombardozzi, Ryan Jackson, who they just got in 2021, was somebody who had been in the majors. And all these guys, they're continuing their success, and that's the kind of guys that you can see. You can see a lot of former major leaguers. There's eight on the roster. Even LJ Mazzilli was on Las Vegas for the Mets and was a AAA player there. So you see a lot of guys who are very impressive both on and off the baseball field.
Now, Dan, that's a great list. And we want to make sure, once again, that the fans know how they can get tickets to Ducks games. So, baseball fans, Long Island fans, Long Island Ducks fans, if you can download the official Long Island Ducks mobile app, it's powered by Clear Vision Apps. You can buy tickets and stay up to date on Long Island's hometown team right on your mobile device. Download the app today for free by visiting the App Store on your Apple powered device or Google Play on your Android powered device. So make sure to go out, buy your Ducks tickets. There's a lot of great ballpark promotions. There's a lot of great food that Daniel was sampling some of the snacks earlier.
I had to have some of the catering back in the broadcast booth. Needed to have a little bit of that to get nourished for the show. And again, such an affordable and fun way to enjoy yourself on Long Island. And it's underappreciated. Even though they have a packed house, even though they break attendance records, they're still underappreciated.
And look, it's a great time in the summer to come out to a ball game. You don't have to spend $100, $120 to go to Citi Field or to go to Yankee Stadium. You can spend an affordable amount, depending on the ticket promotions that you may have. You can come out to Central Islip, Long Island. You can take in a game in which it feels like the players and the fans, they're all a family. It's a much more intimate feel, much more a closeness to the game. It's not a massive ballpark like Citi Field or Yankee Stadium that are triple deck. So the fans are closer to the field, and it's just a great time for all. Now, ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for you here today. So remember that the first pitch for tonight's Long Island Ducks versus Lancaster Barnstormers matchup is scheduled for 6:35 p.m. You can catch all the action on WRHU 88.7 FM radio, Hofstra University, and online at www.wrhu.org, as Michael Pollack and Chris King bring you every pitch of tonight's Ducks-Barnstormers matchup. Once again, this is Matthew Blittner and analyst Daniel Green saying thank you for tuning in to tonight's Long Island Ducks pregame show on Outside the Studio, broadcast on 365sportscast.com. And we will be back with more hot and cold sports takes next week in our usual sports talk show, coming to you from an undisclosed location, where we will have multiple guests prepared to talk about all things sports. Until then, enjoy the Long Island Ducks game tonight. Let's go Ducks.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. As always, my name is Matthew Blittner, and beside me is a very special guest co-host today, Tris Kupchinski, filling in for Daniel, who is under the weather. We wish him well. And in case you didn't catch our theme song written by Jessica Page DeMary, whose full works are accessible online at jdcompositions.com, this is outside the studio. So for the next 59 minutes, please sit back, relax, and enjoy some hot and cold sports takes. And Chris, we're going to get started here with the big news out of the NFL about 2 hours ago. The Bills signed their young quarterback, Josh Allen, to